The drive across the Tantramar Marshes between Sackville and Amherst certainly looked different before March 2014. Back then, the marsh was populated with a group of tall radio towers, home to the CBC International Shortwave Service, RCI International. Harper-era budget cuts led to the CBC's decision to scrap the towers and the shortwave broadcasts that they sent out across the Atlantic. Experimental filmmaker Amanda Dawn Christie was there when the towers fell, and the images she captured are part of Spectres of Shortwave, her 2016 film, which is screening this Thursday at the Vogue Cinema as part of the Sackville Film Society Winter Series. Christie is based in Moncton and lived in Sackville for many years, during which time she became more acutely aware of the RCI site after having learned to build her own radio receiver.
There was an electronics workshop at Strutt's Gallery taught by Peter Fleming, and we made radio receivers out of toilet paper tubes. And my radio picked up Italian radio, and I thought that I did a great job. But it turned out, then I found out that people in houses near, in and around Sackville had historically sometimes picked up the radio in their sinks and their refrigerators. So it wasn't that I did a good job building a radio, it was that I was near an international shortwave site.
Christie was fascinated enough with the idea of shortwave broadcasts picked up by sinks that she decided to construct a new receiver in 2009 while working at Strutt's. Called the Marshland Radio Plumbing Project, Christie tried to make a functioning radio receiver out of a sink using copper pipe as the antenna, two types of metal soldered together for the diode, and the sink basin as a sort of gramophone horn.
And I took it around the marsh trying to hear the radio, and I went to the radio tower site a lot and talked with the technicians. And I got their schedules to see where I could take it. So I became kind of like known to them as the radio sink girl.
That relationship with the staff at RCI came in handy years later when the organization granted Christie access to the site during the filming of Spectres of Shortwave.
They said, well, you know, what's your interest in this? What's your angle with the film? And I said, oh, I'm an artist and I'm making a landscape documentary, different seasons. And I've been trying to hear the radio in a sink for a few years. And so I guess that made me seem like I wasn't too threatening to them. So they gave me access to the site. I had keys to the facility.
Christie was adventurous in collecting her footage of the towers, even going so far as to get a license to climb them. She also recalls racing to the site from Moncton one day in March 2014, just missing the fall of the first of the towers.
I was in the parking lot of the big white building when they dropped the second tower, which was really quite close to it. And I didn't even have a tripod. My camera was sitting on like the bumper of the van that I was using. And so it's a nice shot that in the film, when you see that tower fall, like it's really close and you see the camera shake with the aftershock. Cause when like the tower falls and then there's like this, you know, all the snow. And so that was pretty powerful. And that one, when it fell, I that was the one that was emotional because I wasn't, you know, it was this big rush to get there to film it. And then when it falls, it was just so dramatic. And also when it crashes to the ground, what's interesting is you expect a big loud sound, but they did it in the winter because the marsh would be frozen. Otherwise they'd sink too far into the marsh. And so they had to do it in the winter. And so when the towers hit the marsh in the snow, it's this really kind of underwhelming thud. It's more of like a poof. And you're expecting a big crash, but it makes more noise as the metal's twisting and falling than when it hits the ground.
Christie didn't originally set out to document the demise of the Tantramar shortwave towers. She started out with a plan to create a durational landscape film featuring the towers throughout the seasons. But then, before she had even started filming, CBC made their announcement, and suddenly Christie felt a responsibility to document the towers and their destruction.
When I was making the film, because it's a film about radio, I wanted the soundtrack to be important and to actually double as a radio documentary. And so in the film, for the people in the theater, like there's no talking heads. You don't see any people in the film. It's 2 hours of landscape. You get a half hour per season. But I've interviewed a lot of people. In the first hour and a half, you hear people talking. And like originally I wanted this abstract soundscape, but because they were tearing the site down, I felt there was a There was just more of a obligation to document it historically, so I didn't abstract the sound. I just kept the stories as they are. So you've got an hour and a half of storytelling. So when you're in the movie theater, think of it like listening to a radio documentary while watching images of landscape.
The radio quality of Christie's film also means that every time she screens it, she arranges for a simultaneous broadcast on the radio somewhere else in the world. This time, while Spectres of Shortwave screens at the Vogue Cinema in Sackville, it will also be broadcast on the radio in Dawson City, Yukon.
Because I feel like there's a connection between Sackville and Dawson City, and their radio station, community radio station, CFYT, is actually 106.9 FM. So I kind of feel like that's kind of interesting. CHMA, CFYT, 106.9 FM.
Spectres of Shortwave promises a visual and auditory experience that will recall the nearly 70-year presence of the Tanchamar radio towers on the marshlands outside Sackville.
A lot of Canadians, and even people who live around the towers, didn't know what they were for. Like, to me, they were just a landscape on the highway. You know, you see them and you know you're almost home. And but they it's the Sackville was the perfect location for broadcasting overseas because radio waves travel better over water and especially well over salt water. And also normally when you set up a big transmitting station, you would put something called in the ground called radials, which is like copper wire in the ground to make the ground more conductive. But the Tantramar Marsh is a saltwater marsh. So, because of the salt in the marsh, it was already conductive. It was almost like nature had put those ground radials there to begin with. And so, it was the perfect location during World War II for them to be able to broadcast to Europe and Northern Africa, because it's straight across the ocean from Sackville. So, they broadcast to Europe and Africa and South America and Mexico and Australia. For a while. And then, so they had Canadian broadcasting in 75 languages that went out around the world. And so it was a service that a lot of Canadians didn't know about because it wasn't like the CBC that goes straight to Canadians. It was destined to an international audience. And then they were also subcontracted by a lot of other countries, used that site to relay their signals. So Radio China contracted to use that site. Vatican Radio, Voice of Vietnam, NHK from Japan. So there were a lot of other countries that actually paid like a lot of money to use that site in Sackville because it was so powerful to basically hit this half of the globe. So it was sending original Canadian content, and then it was also relaying international content to cover this half of the planet.
That's Amanda Dawn Christie, creator of Spectres of Shortwave, a film documenting the Radio Canada International shortwave towers that once dominated the landscape of the Tanchamar Marsh. Spectres of Shortwave airs tonight at the Vogue Cinema as part of the Sackville Film Society's winter series. The film starts at 7:30 p.m., and tickets are available at the door.